And now we turn to God's Word from the Gospel of John. And as we do, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Mighty God, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they had been told. Move among us now with your Holy Spirit, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and joy of the living Word as we seek to welcome the written Word into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson is John 1, verses 10 through 18, and as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives and in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Now hear the Word of the Lord. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. It's the word of the Lord. So our sermon title is Into the Neighborhood. One of my favorite shows growing up was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And now my kids watch Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is a continuation. It's like all of the people and creatures in the land of make-believe all got married and had kids, and their kids all go to preschool together, and they learn lessons about what it is to be good neighbors to each other. Of course, you know, Mr. Rogers was an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church there in Pittsburgh, and set out to make a children's TV show as a response to the sort of cartoon, comedic, slapstick, violent kind of shows that were on at that time. He wanted kids, when they gathered around the TV, to learn lessons about what it is to be kind, what it is to be generous, what it is to forgive and ask for forgiveness. Mr. Rogers talked America's kids and the world's kids through many tough situations, tackling so many difficult subjects. And you can go back and watch these. They're on, you know, some of them are on like the PBS app, or some of them are probably streaming on Amazon or something like that. There have been a couple of movies made about Mr. Rogers over the last few years. I would really suggest that you go back and watch some of these, because it's really profound what Mr. Rogers did. Without specifically talking about Jesus, he spoke the good news into the lives of people. That's exactly what we're focusing in on in today's lesson. In John's prologue, he talks about the Word, and it harkens back to Genesis 1, where God speaks and creation comes into being. It's the power of words, John tells us. And we understand how powerful words can be. Words can build up. Words can destroy. I remember a children's sermon, maybe not too long ago, where someone brought up a tube of toothpaste and squeezed all the toothpaste out of it and then invited the kids to put the toothpaste back into the tube. And of course, it's difficult and maybe even impossible to do. And the lesson is, that's what happens with our words. Once something is spoken, it has a life of its own. We see that in social media today, right? You can't say or do anything without it being memorialized for all of time. And something you did a decade ago or longer can be revisited upon you. Today, people are not allowed to grow and change. Who you are today is who you will be in 10 years, whether you like it or not. It's one of the lessons that we try to teach to our kids about how they represent themselves online, right? Right? The dumb stuff we do when we're teenagers, we don't expect to revisit us again and again and again. And yet, in today's era of social media, employers could look at you 15 years from now and look back and say, wow, you did some pretty like sordid stuff online, you know, when you were a teenager. Maybe I don't want to hire you for this position. Words are powerful. Words have a life of their own. And so here John describes Jesus with the Greek word logos, or word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen through him grace and truth. John says, no one has seen the Father, but those who have seen Jesus, those who have experienced the Word, have in fact seen the Father. There's a theologian by the name of Karl Barth. Perhaps you've heard of Karl Barth before. One of my favorites. Barth had thoughts about this concept of word, and he broke it down into three parts. He said the first instance of word is the eternal Word made flesh in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. And so when we talk about God's Word, in its purest form, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. But Barth went on to say, there's a second manifestation of God's Word, and that's what we find here in our Bibles. When we read, we think of this as the Word of God, and insofar as this points us to Jesus, that is true, that the Bible becomes the Word of God when the Holy Spirit leads us to see who Jesus is through it. And what's remarkable about that is when we think about the Old Testament, let's say, the First Testament, we often think of the way that God is described there as harsh or judgmental or angry, as opposed to Jesus, who is full of grace and mercy and friendship. You know, he's the buddy Christ with the two thumbs up, you know, whereas, you know, we think of God as the one who is up in heaven with the thunderbolts, you know, lightning bolts, just waiting to strike you down should you step out of line at all. And Barth says, no. That when we understand who Jesus is, it transforms the entirety of Scripture to understand that the God who is described in the Old Testament is that same God, full of grace, full of mercy. And that's what John is pointing to here. So we have the Word who is Jesus. We have the Word that is God's Word. But Barth said there is a third. There's a third understanding of Word. And it's what happens when we, as the gathered community of Christ receive the word and what we do with it when we head out. The concept here is incarnation. Can you say that with me? Incarnation. This is your 50-cent theological word of the day. This is the word that we understand when we say the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a radical concept amongst world religions, the idea that God would take on flesh and walk among people so that people can understand who God is. We could misunderstand God, but having God in the flesh walking among us. I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates this. One of the kids read this for us on Christmas Eve. He writes that the way we should understand this is that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The idea that when Jesus was born, when God came into the world, when that Word became flesh, it moved into the neighborhood, was involved in people's lives. It's not something we think about much, right? We sort of jump from Jesus' birth to, well, maybe a small sojourn of 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, you know, schooling religious scholars and disobeying his parents. But then we get Jesus at age 30-something. But we don't think about the way that Jesus grew up in those intervening years. How Jesus was in school, how Jesus was amongst the people, how Jesus was there gaining a full understanding of humanity, that humanity might gain a full understanding of God. It's a beautiful image. But what Karl Barth reminds us in talking about this third understanding of the Word as it is proclaimed and lived out in our lives, is that incarnation is not a one-time event. It's not that Jesus became flesh and that's the incarnation and it's the only time that it ever happens and then Jesus returns back up to heaven and someday he's going to come back and until then we just wait around. The Word becomes flesh every time we hear God's Word proclaimed and then respond with action out into the world. The ministry of the church in the 21st century needs to be an incarnational ministry. Because church is a seldom attended event these days, right? Look around. I mean, yeah, we say we can only have 30 people in the church, but we're not turning folks away, right? Our neighbors up and down the street here are not watching with their counters and looking with disappointment when they see the 30th person come in the door and say, gee, we'll have to wake up earlier next week so that we can come. No. In this day, in this age, church is not something that folks will necessarily go to, which means that church has to go to them. And that's what incarnation is. So I want you to imagine with me here on this first Sunday of a new year, 2021, with all of the possibilities, you know, sloughing off whatever 2020 was, the sinful aberration that year was. Gosh, tell you what, right? You know, we went to Disney World in January and it was all downhill from there. But 2021 with so much promise, and we all make these resolutions and we decide we're going to live our lives differently. Well, here's a resolution for the church in 2021. The Word becomes flesh and blood and moves into the neighborhood. I want you to imagine that as a Christian, every word you speak and every action you take is an incarnational ministry. The people who won't come to a central location to hear about God need to learn about the grace and truth of Jesus Christ from the people of God that live out their faith each and every day. That's what the doctrine of incarnation is all about. It's about Jesus, who is the Word, that we understand by studying the Word, being lived out through the Word into the neighborhood. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to knock on our neighbor's doors and say, "Have you found Jesus?" Right? There's like a Far Side comic or something where people are knocking on a door and the person opens it and the people at the door say, "Have you found Jesus?" And you can see in the living room, like, there's long curtains and Jesus is like hiding behind the curtains. Have you found Jesus? No, that's not what incarnational life is about. Incarnational life is about proclaiming hope and good news and pointing people towards the source of our joy, the source of our delight, the source of our hope, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's resolve to do that this year, my friends. In our lives, as we go into the world, as we move into the neighborhood, proclaiming the good news, the Word of God, in all that we say, perhaps more importantly, in all that we do. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus and what that gift means for the understanding of how we ought to live our lives out in faithfulness to you. Help us, Lord, to see the world as the neighborhood in which your Spirit dwells, and that you've invited us on this exciting adventure into the neighborhood to be the flesh and blood of Jesus in the midst of our world. Lord, when they see us, may they see you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.